This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Surfing the globe, bringing you news, views, and current affairs for the LGBT community, this is the World Wide Wave. Joy 94.9, this is the World Wide Wave, live from Melbourne, Australia. I'm Tom, joined in the studio with Squirrel and Matt. Hello, gang. Are you ready for tonight's show?
We are ready for tonight, and we have got a jam-packed evening.
Oh, we do. This week, a World Wide Wave stops over in Malaysia. We speak with Kevin, an active member of the Malaysian LGBT community, on his thoughts about what's going on. We learn more about the Malaysian government's alleged endorsement of a paper that outlines why your kid might be gay. We also chat about the new anti-gay musical touring Malaysian schools, and we have so much going on tonight that we're jumping right into it.
And we'd love to interact with you. You can send us an SMS on 0427 Joy 949. You can phone Robert there at the front desk on 1300 Joy 949. We're on email, that's onair at joy.org.au, and live on Facebook. Search World Wide Wave or W3Joy on Facebook, and we'd love to hear from you.
So much going on tonight with Malaysia. We're jumping right into fun, fast facts without a moment to spare. Malaysia. Truly Asia, I believe, is how the advertisement goes. probably not so much, however. Malaysia retains its colonial era ban on sodomy and oral sex. Thank you, England.
That's the British again, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Possible punishments include fines, prison sentences of up to 25 years, and even corporal punishment. Now, that's for everybody.
You're saying this with such a blasé la-di-da voice.
Oh, because that's for everybody. But wait, there's more.
There's something special for the gays, is there?
There is a little something extra for us. Subsections of the criminal code also provide additional punishments of men convicted of, quote, gross indecency with another male person. So 25 years, corporal punishment for everyone, and a little something special if it's guy. As Malaysia is a majority Muslim country, Muslim citizens may also be charged in special Islamic courts. So more. More of things you can't do. Just to give you an idea of how the Malaysian government sort of sees the LGBT community, in 1994, the government banned anyone who is homosexual, bisexual, or transsexual from appearing in the state-controlled media. In 2001, a former prime minister of Malaysia stated that any country who comes to visit and brings with them gay cabinet ministers or diplomats, they will be kicked out.
And there was quite an uproar about that in the international community, but it stuck in. You know the sweetest bit about it?
Mm-hmm.
His daughter later came out against it and has since called for an end to discrimination based on sexual orientation.
Correct. Good sides to the bad side. In 2005, the chief of the Royal Malaysian Navy stated that the Navy would never accept homosexuals. In 2010, I like this one, the Film Censorship Board of Malaysia allegedly announced that it will only allow depiction of homosexual characters if what? What do you think? You can have a gay guy in this movie if what? He's hot, blonde?
In Malaysia? No.
They said that
thinking something evil coming.
Yes, they will only allow homosexual characters if that character either repents or dies.
Okay, repenting in the movie.
Or dies.
And I think it's fantastic that one of our guests later on in the show tonight actually submitted a petition to the Human Rights Commission about this exact legal issue. Piece of legislation.
Yes, yeah, so. We'll hear more on that. We'll also hear more on this little tidbit a little bit later. Earlier this year, Malaysia's deputy education minister was quoted as saying, LGBT is a social illness. We have to raise awareness on it quickly. Just like drugs, a lack of awareness will cause LGBT to spread. End quote.
Mm.
I don't know what to say after that.
No.
Apparently, LGBT can spread, and it's not a good sort of spread. It's not an understanding sort of spread. It's, yeah.
I can't imagine the impact this is having on the mental health of people in Malaysia who are even considering that they might be gay or who are gay. Another fun, fast fact that we're going to chat about is the late-breaking musical that has come out within the last week or two. It is touring the country, and in it, we'll get into more of this later, but we just know that the homosexual characters that do not repent, as per the media, do in fact fit subsection B. They die. A lightning bolt strikes them. Now, we will be talking shortly with director Pang Ki-taek about his take on all of this LGBT oppression.
But first, let's take a quick mental break with some music. Malaysian singer, songwriter, record producer, television presenter, and businesswoman all around go-go girl, Siti Nurizala with Falling in Love.
Joy 94.9, you're on the World Wide Wave. We're the show that takes you around the globe, one country at a time. And this week, we're stopping off with Malaysia. Now, we're about to chat with art director, program director, and LGBT activist Pang Ki-taek.
Great to have you with us. Now, you are a writer and a performer. There's currently an anti-gay musical going around Malaysia. How do you feel about that?
Well, as an artist, I must say that I'm fine with any kind of expressions. And I think people are entitled to say whatever they want to say, no matter how stupid it is. And they are entitled to show off how stupid they are.
In fact, as a writer, you have done the opposite, I guess. You use your writing to tell stories, tell gay stories to the public.
That's right. That's what I do.
Tell us a bit about the festival that you helped to start.
Well, we started it in 2008 because a friend of mine has been inviting me to readings that he organized. And we're both writers, so we've been doing a lot of readings of our works in public spaces in Malaysia, but of course, not necessarily state-sanctioned kind of events. So that year, Singapore invited us to Singapore to their Pride Festival to perform our readings, and we thought, you know, it would be shame if we do not try to replicate the same kind of model in Malaysia, or at least to create the same kind of platform where we can tell the stories and also bring together the people who have started to discuss and talk about how to expand rights and dialogue in Malaysia on this issue. So we created it in 2008, but of course, if you've followed the news, in 2011 it was banned by the police.
Now, just as a side, do you feel that it's safe as an LGBT artist in Malaysia?
I think safety is always an illusion. So while I do feel that I am safe to a certain degree, I'm also aware that my position and the privileges I have afforded me that some luxury, or at least some illusion of safety. Yeah? And I'm also aware that in Malaysia, there are a lot of other LGBTs who do not feel so safe. And, you know, because I think in the art scene, we are a community, and there's enough support from fellow artists to feel that there is a place where we can belong. But this may not be so for a lot of younger LGBTs who feel alienated in their schools or in their towns. Yeah, so I think the, you know, safety is an illusion. But that said, you know, we have received quite a number of threats, including death threats, for the kind of work we do. And so far, to our knowledge, none of these death threats have been carried out. So while they trouble us and make us a little bit more anxious, we are also aware that they are they're just threats. And they make us realize that there are ways to go around and creating engagement, and there are opportunities here.
Now, ideally, what do you see as the next positive step for the LGBT Malaysian community?
Yeah, so I think we need to keep pressing for to engage with the state. You see, you know, one of the things that have made me both happy and yet also a little sad is conversations like this that I'm having with you now, right? I think that the issue, because it's so global, has created a situation where activists from Malaysia are talking on the global stage, you know, and we are invited to speak at conferences and to radio stations around the world. But we are not really talking to the people who really matters, right? We are not talking to the state officials. We are not talking to the locals who are creating the situation for us. And that is where the dialogue needs to be. The dialogue needs to be on a local level. The dialogue needs to be where we can make a difference, so that we are not talking at each other or over each other, but to each other, and that we actually listen. And sometimes the global stage with the language that's being used to push for human rights of the LGBTs, for example, the arrogance and the kind of tone that's being used can also produce a reaction within the states that we work in, right? To make these states confirm their impression that the language is of one of neo-imperialism, you know, if you know what I mean, that is the world at large is trying to undermine the sovereignty of the state. So I think that the activists in each country right now that are facing this situation have a very tough and complicated job of trying to negotiate with the language that's being used on the international arena as well as the domestic field. To give, I think, very importantly, to give the sense to the local government that we are seriously interested in engaging, we are seriously interested in finding a solution, you know, but also to make them understand that people will always create a relationship between themselves and the state that the state will never be able to entirely monitor. And therefore, the role of the state is not to discipline bodies to such fine details, but actually to give room for people to negotiate and to form their own relationship with the state.
What you're saying about the arrogance and new imperialism, I hear that, and I think it's a really good point and one that we probably hadn't thought of, because we're often talking about how the British imperialism brought in the anti-homosexual laws, but now here we are coming in with the very, very strong Western pro-gay agenda, and I see what you're saying about how that might impact the grassroots movement. Just curious, though, do you think if the state were, as you said, if the state were completely left to its own devices and without international arrogance and imperialism, do you feel that the grassroots movement in Malaysia is strong enough or would gain the momentum and to reach a place where the dialogue could be an internal dialogue in Malaysia?
No, I believe... of course, we are not strong enough yet, but yet it doesn't mean that there are no strategies that are available. You see, I think we will ultimately we have to find those strategies ourselves, and the stakes are our own to make. You see, but that said, I'm not denying the value of solidarity, and I think it's very important that we understand that there is solidarity, and we understand that there are few ways of being in this world, right? One of the ways of being is being a citizen, you know, and being a citizen, to be called and to be recognized by the state is very important. But the other ways of being is to be human, to be, you know, to be global as well. So there are many ways of negotiating a way of being in this world, or being in a country, or being in a village. And I think that that sometimes the language that is being used by the international human rights structure when they're trying to press our states for conformity to what they call the international norm, it seems rather inadequate in helping us solve our problems domestically. And so what I wish for is actually that what they'll do is empower the local actors instead. Empower the local actors, you know, teach to give us a ways of analyzing power structures or analyzing and in intervening with our systems so that we can take these actions locally.
And do you see the arts community as taking a lead in generating that discussion in Malaysia?
Yes, I think the arts thing has, in Malaysia has been very interesting and there have been some projects. But of course, you know, the arts is also very tightly limited by the state. And there are all kinds of repercussions as well. I mean, but just for example, recently there's a group of Malay theatre practitioners who want to put up the staging of display *Anne Butterfly*. I'm not sure if you're familiar with it, but it involves cross-dressing, right? And the actor just pulled out because his management company believes that this performing display will negatively impact his career. And of course, they're pulling out because of the fear of the, you know, the kind of social sanction and the state sanction that are in existence. But nonetheless, the company is pressing ahead with the performance and, you know, finding another actor. So yes, I think the arts scene is trying to engage with this issue and in some ways, but I think not enough. I think there's not enough creative voices, and a lot of it ends up sometimes just talking internally. And so what I really hope for is artistic strategies that challenge as well as give people language that they can use to describe their situation.
Peng, we thank you for joining us here on the World Wide Wave, and wish you luck in taking things forward in Malaysia. Yes, it's the World Wide Wave, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And we've been speaking with Peng Ki Tek, who is the founder of the Sexual Rights Festival, Sexuality Meduka, and an arts programmer, and very much using the arts to take forward the rights of gays and lesbians in Malaysia.
And more importantly, I think what he had to say to us about empowering the local actors and challenging, giving people language, it's such a good message. In a way, we're a community radio station here, and that's what has been done for us, is we weren't told what to say. We made up a program of our own, and so did Generation Next, and so did Kiss My Arts, and so did all the other, the footy program, the sport programs. And it's just that sort of empowerment to local actors that I think it's a really good point Peng made, that that's what makes a community grow.
It is, and we love it. But it's time for a bit more music, a bit more Malaysian music. What have we got, Tom?
It is time for a bit of music. This is Soap, This Is How We Party. Soap, This Is How We Party. Soap was a Danish pop music duo made up of two sisters, Heidi and Cecilene, who were born in Malaysia.
I was wondering where the link was coming from.
It was an interesting conversation we just had with Peng Ki Tek, but there's also some pretty oppressive legislation that is happening at the governmental level. What have you found, Tom?
Well, late last year, allegedly, and I'll explain more on that later, allegedly the Malaysian Education Ministry came up with a list, or they didn't come up with it, they supported a list of ways that parents can identify gay and lesbians. Young school-age children, so that their concerned parents can identify if they might be gay or lesbian.
Is this to support them through a time of need?
One would think or hope, but no, this is just how blatantly to tell if you're gay, if your kid's gay. Your kid might be gay if...
Yeah, go on, give me one of them. If what?
If he likes having a fit body and likes to show it off by wearing V-necks and sleeveless clothes.
V-necks.
Have you seen a V-neck since 97? Yeah.
No, wait. Before you go on with that list, Tom, what I'd love to do is to hear from you. You listening folk right now. If you can SMS us at 0427-JOY949 or give us an email at onair@joy.org.au. Now, we're going to go through the rest of the list, but we want to know, what do you reckon the Malaysian government sponsored list put on as how you could spot a gay? How can you spot a gay?
And lesbians. They were descript with they weren't biased in any way, shape, or form.
And in case, we don't want to discriminate against bisexual folks, I'll go bisexual if they're listening to an Ani DeFranco CD. Okay, so what else do we have? What else is on the list?
So, yes, if your young son is spending too much time at the gym and wearing V-necks, according to the Malaysian government, you might want an intervention. Also, if your son has a preference for tight and bright colored clothing, you might.
Not an either or. It's got to be tight and bright. Is
it
that
does
right?
Say tight and bright. Tight and bright.
So if you've got one,
so
but
spandex
not the
black and tight, fine. You're fine. Neon is fine.
Maybe that's where bi fits in. If you've got one but not the other, then you're not quite there.
Oh, there you go.
I don't know.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
What else?
This is a tough one for a parent to figure out, but if your son is attracted to men, he might be gay.
Playing football together or something?
I don't know. I think that's just because they couldn't find any more general stereotypes, so they stated the obvious. But wait, there's more. If your son has a preference for carrying handbags similar to those used by women, he might be gay.
Especially if it matches the bright colored top or something.
Oh, well, then that's just hands down. Yeah.
I was going to say, especially if it's, what would you call it, Gucci.
We're
not talking about a Kmart handbag here. Let's look at the brand of handbag and then we'll know what kind of son you have.
If your son has any of those, you might wish to perform an intervention, according to the Malaysian government. However, they went on. There are ways to spot a lesbian.
Oh, now hang on. Again, before you go, the list goes on, but if you can think of any, we love listener interaction. It makes us smile and happy. So feel free to SMS us 0427-JOY949 or give Robert a call on the front desk, 1-300-JOY-4949.
And don't forget we're live on Facebook, W3JOY or World Wide Wave on Facebook right now.
Is your young daughter a budding lesbian?
Maybe.
She might be if she's attracted to women.
Okay.
God.
Yeah, they go for the tough ones.
Was this a government commissioned paid thing? Because, I've noticed some government. Anyway, moving right along.
It goes on. Besides their female companions, they tend to distance themselves from other women.
Hang on.
Explain that one to me. I'm not familiar with how lesbians grow up, but besides their female companion, they tend to distance themselves from other women.
So you show an attraction to women, i.e. you want to get close to women, but you distance yourself
to women.
You hang
out with the boys, you play sport, you play soccer, you take up a job as a tradie on a construction site. I'm just hypotheticals, not...
Ah, you distance... Okay, see. I spent too much time in my tight clothes.
Oh my God, he's so cute. Can we go to the mall? Can we go?
I think you're stereotyping now. I don't know what you mean.
Your young daughter might be a lesbian if she has a preference for going out, having meals with women, and also has a preference for sleeping in the company of women.
I don't know about you, but it's not sleep that I... Oh, okay.
So if you're a child at school and you have a sleepover, you invite friends over for a sleepover, you're a lesbian.
Apparently, it's you should give pause and then do further investigation. But wait.
Well, go back to the... Was it eating in the company of women?
Yes, if you have a preference for going... Or if your child has a preference for going out or having meals with other women, she might be a lesbian. This one, however, this is the good one. This is a lot of people got in a room. A lot of non-lesbians got in a room and came up with this one. Your daughter might be a lesbian if she's not attracted to men.
There you have it, folks. We're looking at for those of you just joining us, the Malaysian government put out a list of, well, they didn't put it out, but they supported a list of traits to identify your LGBT son or daughter. And part of this was...
And in fact, they hosted seminars for parents. They took it a step further, hosted seminars. 1,500 people turned up to 10 seminars to find out how to spot a gay or lesbian.
And we've just got a message in from Ken from Hunting Huntingdale, Victoria, it's saying, I am Malaysian. I like having a fit body. I like showing off. I like wearing tight V-necks and sleeveless tops. And yes, I am gay. Oh my God, they're right. Yay. And thank you, Ken. We love that.
And you like listening to Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station. It's hands down there.
Yes, we very much appreciate that. Love hearing that. And if anybody else has anything to add to that list, just let us know here on the World Wide Wave.
It's a World Wide Wave on Joy 94.9, the show that takes you around the globe one country at a time. And tonight we are in Malaysia. It was interesting speaking with Pung Ki Teek before and his thoughts on the need for grassroots activism, the need to get the discussion going at a local level in Malaysia rather than international level. So we did. We spoke to Kevin, a local in Malaysia, to get his views on the gay and lesbian community. Homosexuality is illegal in Malaysia. There's a ban on sodomy. What happens if you are found to be gay?
The practice of is like illegal under the like Sharia law or Islamic law in Malaysia. And like if the government, police, or agency find you, there may be subsequent conviction and you'd be charged with many different things. Like as I know, it's around like up to 20 years in. Actually,
are you aware of the government enacting that and charging or jailing people?
And I have several cases from my friends that like they actually being charged for like few years and they being fined like some stuff like this because they found to do they haven't done exactly the like any sexual practice but maybe because being found to be like doing some like related like practices that might not be understandable in here and other issues like as I said some people find it like especially the Muslim people find it very like illegal in here so that's the big case and big issue in here.
Is it more accepted amongst the Chinese people?
They don't find it like it's not acceptable in their culture in general when I talk to them or when I got some friends but they kind of accept it as like okay that's their like their some of my Chinese friends never like being against this but they never support it so they seems to be neutral about this.
Now we saw a law saying that teachers were learning to spot homosexuals. Is this still happening?
Yes, it's happening.
What sort of support organizations are there for gay people in Malaysia?
To be honest, none. I'm kind of like these people. I'm known as these people, but there is no support from government, no support from hospitals, no support, nothing, basically nothing. And actually the other sad thing is that you can't talk about this freely to anyone, like no support, you have no support. Zero support from government, zero support from international institutions, nothing.
So how does a gay person interact or find other gay people?
Usually, as far as I know, mostly through the social networking, like through Facebook, emails, like they create fan pages, like gay community in Malaysia, and like they use social media to like meet each other, do like this, and most of them in blogs or be filtered by government again. So it's not easy. Usually people meet in the streets, they go befriend and they found out like each other. Usually it's not a really open conversation. You are, as a person, you're always under like fear and under pressure.
Do you think that you can stay in Malaysia?
Depends. As far as if nobody knows about this problem, you won't have any problems. So if you would be fine.
We continued our conversation with Kevin, and he brought some really interesting points about international help as well.
So how is it with families? If somebody is gay, do they just hide it from their family?
I left my family like 5 years ago. How can I say it's not... If I want to compare it to like Western countries or maybe Australia... It's totally different. Nobody stop. I mean, they tell this is wrong. This is wrong in their culture. This is wrong in their religion. So that's the issue, basically.
Is there any way that we in Australia can help?
Unfortunately, unfortunately, I got a bad news. I say this. I went to like mountain biking and I found a person who was actually a diplomatic of Australian embassy in Malaysia. And me and my friend just came to a conversation and he says, you know what? I don't like these people. And that was the concern. I mean, didn't say anything at that time, but that was the concern. Like, even the Australian embassy staff not supporting like that. Maybe the Australian government can support this by, because I know a lot of thousands of refugees in Malaysia that they run their home, thousands of refugees from Iran, Turkey, a lot of countries that they won't even have a secure home. And maybe the government of Australia or other Western governments may help them. In my opinion, killing them or stoning them is all these kind of charges. I mean, I have no solution for this, but it's a big issue in Islamic countries.
Can you repeat the exact words that the consulate said to you?
The exact word was like, you know what, I don't understand the people. That was the exact sentence that he just replied. He says, I don't understand these people. They act like sissy. Like, the words he used is about like this.
Amnesty International have said that they think that homophobia is increasing in Malaysia. Have you noticed that?
Yeah. There is a lot of homophobia among people in here.
Is it worse than it was 5 or 10 years ago?
I think the Islamic rules are getting harder in here. And the people here are under more pressure because those people who were like this either find a way to get out of it or did something else. This is getting bad now. It's not as it used to be freely practiced as, not freely practiced as, like the government start to close a lot of bars, nightclubs that I know. So that is stopped being there. You know, they are closing the connection among the people.
And do you have any sense of community, a gay community in Malaysia?
Only through the social media. The only way I personally contact with them or find friends or find people or maybe dating is only through social networking, like Facebook pages, maybe. The only way I actually try is through Facebook pages.
Well, great. Thank you very much for joining us, Kevin. That was great.
And that was Kevin, a local from Malaysia. We rang him in Malaysia and he was chatting to us about LGBT life and issues. Didn't sound like it was very easy, did it?
Not at all. Not at all. And the fact that he concurs with Amnesty there that homophobia is actually increasing. Things aren't getting better, they're getting worse.
What's interesting to me is both of them had a pretty strong, not anti-international, but certainly not a favorable sentiments regarding Australia. Now, we cannot confirm or deny this. We did ring the Australian embassy, and I spoke with, in person, one of the media relations officer, who was actually quite keen to chat to us, but needed to clear it with senior staff. When senior staff were unable to get back to us, he gave us a list of people, LGBT people in Malaysia or who are Malaysian, and Mr. Pang Ki Tek, who we spoke to earlier, was one of the recommendations. So in a sense, although we cannot vouch for the Australian embassy or its policy, I can certainly say that they were very helpful in putting us in contact with people who were able to be on our show.
And we'd have to say that Australian policy is certainly not to make those sorts of comments. So,
But at the same time, yeah, it's up to the listener. You be the judge whether you think that happened or not. We've given you information, but we can neither confirm nor deny it.
Wow. I think you've covered that quite well. I think it is really important to point out again what Matt said, and that is that clearly the Australian official repartee is positive, positive, positive. With that, a little bit more positive.
Can we have some positive music?
Well, maybe not positive, but it's positive because he won in 2003, the winner of the Australian Idol. Who was it? Anyone?
Guy Sebastian. Oh, it has to be Guy. Yes.
Was born in Malaysia. Battle
really?
Scars.
I love this song.
You're on the World Wide Wave. But it never does. That's because you
have one. This is Audrey Gochran, the director of Amnesty International's Africa program on the World Wide Wave.
Joy 94.9, this is the World Wide Wave, where we have been in Malaysia. We've learned some interesting things. We've learned 8 ways, 4 for men, 4 for girls, 8 ways that the Malaysian education government thinks you can identify gays in your children.
I'm going out V-neck hunting after the show, I think.
I'm heading to the gym directly.
I'm also going to back announce we spoke with Pang Ki Tik, and we spoke to him about the Malaysian scene. And I felt that the point that he made about new imperialism and arrogance was particularly compelling. Perhaps it's because we're a show called The Worldwide Wave and we claim to take over the globe one country at a time, or explore the globe one country at a time. Nevertheless, it's really, really important.
And we've had some great interaction tonight, thanks to the messages from Ken and Brad on Facebook. We've had Nguyen and Armand, and another one has just come in too, I think, there.
Yeah, we'll give it a bit of justice and speed read a lot of it out, but it's Ken from Huntingdale, who only caught the last few minutes of Pang's interview and applauded what he's doing because he risks significant repercussions if someone chooses to make things difficult for him. Sodomy is technically illegal even in the civil courts, and he goes on to talk more about that. I came to Australia to do uni and have been here for about 9 years. Since accepting myself and coming out, the idea of going back to... Ken, thank you for this. The idea of going back to live there is so impossible. It's not as if I'm a huge part of the gay scene here, but it's just the fact that I could if I so choose. I often wonder if I'm doing a disservice to my fellow gay Malaysians by not going back and lending my voice to their cause. However, I feel that I came out while here, and my life as a gay man began here. Going back after having no connection with them as previously seems foreign. I wish Mr. Pang and all our fellow LGBT members all the best with advancing our rights in Malaysia. Be strong but safe, Ken.
Well said, Ken. Thanks for joining us on the Worldwide Wave. Stay tuned for The Locker Room coming up, talking all things sport. This is the Worldwide Wave on Joy 94.9.
And we leave you with Born This Way, because we can play it here, even though they can't play it in Malaysia.
That's right. They garble some of the words, but we won't. We love him, or catch you next week.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.